You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word. God, help us. Honor it. Honor your presence. Honor your grace. And deal with our hearts. And our God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of our Lord, the Gospel of John, we have come to the very special section, not found in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, in the Upper Room Discourse. And John, of course, the last living apostle, is writing and giving very precise movement and wonderful information that we need to know. And so in the process, it's special to the 12 minus Judas, the 11, and they're having very, very special opportunity, as you would, as the Lord Jesus did with Peter, James, and John out in the garden in each place. He met with them special up in the Mount of Transfiguration. They were special. They were given extra information, given an understanding. And God has that wonderful way of doing it with those that he's preparing for the next step. And in the process now, John, Judas has gone out. The Lord Jesus has gone and told them, as we shared in Luke 22, and that information about the devil was going to sift them, et cetera, et cetera. And we did all that. Now, so they are in a place where they are very, very much troubled, and in like troubled water, like a storm coming on top of the ocean, and the waves are all in turmoil, trouble, agitated. And so their mind is going, and you understand Peter's gone. Peter's there. Peter and all of them, all 11 of them, are in not. Their whole world has disappeared. It's all going to come to an end, as far as they're concerned. So, whatever they are, whatever they're hearing, they aren't hearing, as we share together. They just aren't hearing it. They're missing it, and we shared all that. But, so that it's not good. They're hanging in there. They're committed, wonderfully committed, but with no understanding. They need to have understanding to go with a commitment, or better, they need to have the relationship to handle the commitment. So now, in John chapter 14, remember now, let not your heart be troubled, we share together. Don't let it be agitated in every way. That's a command. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen in your life. They're getting all wound up about all the circumstances and the conditions in which you are living in. You are living in them. It's a real experience. It's not a picnic. It's not a party. It's a real world they're living in, and it's happening. And they're having to go through it. God isn't taking it away from them. He's letting them go through it. Now he can't have them experience in the garden because that alone requires God to be able to do it in the perfect man, Christ Jesus. But all the way up to that, they're experiencing it to the crucifixion itself. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and therefore, remember, God said, believe in God, believe also in me. And both of those are commands to believe, to be believing. That's a command. Now, when you say that, they could be indicative mood in that, but your command. What are you saying to them? Stop being troubled. Believe. Stop being troubled. Believe in God. You believe God and his wonderful grace and power and creative wonderful for Israel, the God of Israel. Believe. Believe. Same command. Believe in me. Believe in me. They weren't doing it. They needed to do it. They needed to be practicing it, but they weren't. Therefore we came to verse 2. In my Father's house are many abiding, his place, his dwelling, are many abiding places, mansions, where he is. And we shared together last time, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. There's no place he isn't. So any place, wherever God is, his wonderful, wonderful place, his abiding places, wherever he is. In my Father's house are many abiding places, dwelling places. And we did that. And if it were not so, if it wasn't so. Now remember the Old Testament saints? We shared that last time. Job said, my body was going to go to the worms, but I'm going to go in the resurrection and be with God. David will say, my little child died, but I can't bring the child back, but I can go to be where the child is, as it were. So David understood. They all, I'd rather dwell in the house of the Lord. They all had that. So God would say, I have told you, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I've told you. And you guys understand there's an awesome future. You haven't got it together, but there is one. And I've told you it over and over and over again. And I go, and I'm going to prepare a place to make it ready to be revealed. I'm making a place for you. That's what I'm doing. And you ought to be encouraged. Now, God, remember, he isn't addressing their immediate moment. He's addressing what they need to understand, and we shared it together. They had lost the wonderful anticipation, expectation, the hope that is absolutely necessary to proceed down the corridor of time, because you aren't hoping for the worst. You're hoping for something to work out, whatever it is in the world sense, next week, next month. You're looking to work out whatever. You're hoping. Well, your hope, you can have all of that hope, and all of that hope is dependent on what you're hoping in. God said you got to find your hope in me. Your expectation, your anticipation is in me. You're going down the corridor of time. I'm there. I'm already there. That's what you want to do. What am I going to find? Going to find God. That's wonderful. I'm going to find you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm going to find you, God. That's right. So be of good cheer. Now, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you and make it ready for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So you're going to prepare a place. Where is the place? It's wherever I am going to be. You don't have to guess. I'm telling you. I'm going to have you be where I am. So that's where we're headed. We're headed there. And we shared together over to chapter 17, just to review it and lock it in your heart and mind. Chapter 17. The end of the up in the upper room. Verse 24. 17:24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the earth. God, what do you want to be? I want to be where I am. So where are you going? Peter, James, and John, Thomas, here we are. I'm going to go, and you're going to be where I am. Now that answers that one straightway. Is anyone listening? Guys, are you listening? Going to be where I am? No? Hang on. And that where I am, you may be also. I want you in the same place. I am going to come. I am going to come to receive you, to take you. I am personally going to, I am going to come and personally take you to where I am going to be. I'm personally going to do it. I'm not going to have an angel. I'm not going to have anyone else do it. I personally am going to escort you to where I am. That's what I'm going to do. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and therefore, in my Father's house, many abiding places, etc. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you that you may be where I am. And in the, and in verse 3, that you may be where I am also. Now, in order to be there, and I'm going to come again for you. I'm going to come so that you can have a wonderful, unique relationship to who I am. Now, having said that, and if I go, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, I'm going to come personally, all myself. I'm going to take you. I'm going to come to take you. I'm going to take to oneself. I'm going to take you to myself. Verse 3. And receive you unto myself, that where I am you may be also. So I'm going to a place. That's right. And I want you to know I'm going there. That's what I'm going to do. You want to know where I'm going? I'm going there. Now, having said that, and I'm going to come again. Now, and this is where people, you said it, but people don't believe anymore. They don't pay attention to the rapture, to the coming, the prophetic truth. They don't know that. They are all over the place. So, if any. So, we have that. So, what do we know? But what do you say, God? What did you say to them? I'm going to go. I'm coming for you again. All right. And now just remind yourself, you know that. Our Lord Jesus said it. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And picking up if I can. John chapter 6. And you'll notice the little verb, all that the Father giveth me, 37, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I will should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So I'm not going to lose anything. I told you I'm coming, though, to make it all happen. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth in him shall may have everlasting life, and shall I will raise him up at the last day. So I want you to be looking to me, so be encouraged about what I'm telling you. I'm going to come again. That's what I'm going to do. You know, when we have the Lord's table, we do it. We say it. Why are you doing the Lord's table? Why do we do the Lord's table? You do this in remembrance of me until I come. While I am coming. We do it next month. We do it. Remember me. Don't forget. I'm coming. We say, remember me. Remember, I'm coming. Remember, I'm coming. Now, what do you want? Every time you do it, I'm coming. Hey, coming. The present tense, I'm coming. Okay. Over, if you would please, to Hebrews. And again, Hebrews, picking up, please. In chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. May I go directly to verse 36. And as you have need, Hebrews 10:36, need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you have done, actually you've gone through the will of God, not you're going to get it, but you've gone through it, you did it. You trusted God and did it. You might receive the promise. So you got to finish the will of God for your life. And for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, he will not tarry. He's coming. So you do, you finish the will of God. Obviously, if the will of God is here, then he can't take you there until as long as his will is here. And the will for him to be a testimony, for the believers to be a testimony until he comes. And that's a testimony until he comes. When he's finished with that, he's coming. To say it another way, after the awesome tribulation coming up, over, if you would please, to Revelation 22. I'm not sure in the tribulation how many are going to read what we're reading. I don't have any much enthusiasm for that. But, here we are, and it's written for us. Remember Revelation 1 and 2. It's written for the servants that are serving me. So Revelation, the plagues and the trumpets and all of that, bowls, all of those things, seals, all of those things are there. But they aren't for us. But we need to know them. So what's ahead? What's ahead? What did you tell the disciples in the upper room, Matthew 24 and 25? Tribulation's ahead. Trouble's ahead. Like the world has never seen this kind of trouble. What's the encouragement? Here's Peter, James, and John. Here are the 11 disciples, apostles. Here they are, and they see, all they see is emptiness and trouble. It doesn't work. Looking at the tribulation, it's an awesome time. God, that's how we people see, to even think about it. Wow, a third of the earth and a third of this and a third of that. A third of people. Wow. What did you say? How are you going to end it? You know, Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly, present tense, in the middle. I am coming. I am personally coming. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So God, we understand that you're coming. That's right. Verse 12. And behold, there it is again, present, middle. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And you're going to end. How are you going to end the Bible? You aren't ending it for them. You're ending it for us. Because we're supposed to be what? Waiting for his coming. Now, how do you end? After you're telling us all these awesome things are going to happen in the future. We have a blessed hope. That's right. Revelation 22, 17. I'll even read verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. That's why we're reading them. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride, that's us, say, come. There's your little verb. Come, come. I'm going to come for you. Come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come, come, come. Verse 20. And he which testifieth these things, that's our Lord himself, saith, surely I come quickly. So when he's all done and everyone's looking and he closed the Bible, he said, I'm coming quickly. But it's all kinds of stuff. Don't you understand? All of that is going to transpire and bring about my wonderful coming. I'm coming for you. Before it happened, Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse 10. To the church in Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, bearing up under the load, I also will keep thee, remember, patience for the outworking of the will of God, from the hour of temptation, testing, which shall come upon all the earth, the world, to try to put to the test, proof, them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. You're saying that to them? Behold, hold that fast, which thou hast. Hang on, that no man can take it from you. Hang on, don't let it go. Don't let it go. Don't lose it. I'm coming. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back down. I told you. But no buts. Do you understand? I'm coming. Now, back over to the Gospel of John. And he says it. Now, so I don't, whatever theological positions people want to have about the millennium and future and tribulation, whatever it is, you're sort of stuck if you're going to go by what he said. He said, I'm coming. He didn't say, I'm coming after. He said, I'm coming, and nothing's in front of it. So you're sort of stuck, aren't you? And the problem, you know what people are like, don't you? He said, will I find the body of truth when I come? Rhetorical question, no. I told you I was coming. I am. So that's how we're supposed to proceed. Now, having said that, John chapter 14, and going down the corridor of time, therefore, and God the Spirit is going to do his wonderful work in our life. Therefore, we're going to come now to verse 4. And when we come to verse 4, you will notice Thomas, he's going, first you got to get verse 4. And the Lord is going to say, after, I'll read the end of verse 3, where I, there you may be also. And whither, where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now the word verb know means the knower is knowing what is known. The knower person is knowing what is to be known. And he says it in the perfect tense. You know with the result that you know right now. You know where I am, where I'm going, and the way you know. You know it right now. And you can just imagine if you were sitting there looking and they're looking at each other. You know it. You know it. You know what's going to happen. And the way you know. Now, having said that, Thomas, you're going to help us. Yes, I am. Thomas is a wonderful person, he is. They call him Doubting Thomas. But no, he just was straight down the line. Remember when he left, when they crossed the Jordan in John 11 and 16? You'll remember he said, let us cross the Jordan, all of us, and die with him. That's what he said. Boy, that's sort of pessimistic, isn't it? We're going to cross and die. But he's going to go. And that's why we had all the other things we shared together. Now, so here's Thomas. Thomas in the upper room, except I see the nail prints in his hand. Nothing. Nothing. I want to put my hand in that side where the hole is, where they punctured it with a spear. It wouldn't heal because there's no blood. Wow. I want to do that. That's Thomas. So Thomas, now, the Lord just said, you know where, and you know the way. You know the where and the way. You know that. Now Thomas contradicts, as it were. He said, verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know, there's your word, not whither, we don't know whither, perfect tense, we are not knowing. You're telling us we know something, and we're telling you we don't know. We don't know, Lord. Okay. Whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? So we don't know where you're going. Now, how do you expect us to know the way? If you don't know where you want me to go this afternoon, how on earth could I ever get there? Here's the map of the world. I got to know where you're going. How could I possibly know which direction unless you tell me the way? Oh, you got to tell me where in order to know the way. We don't know where, and we don't know the way. Now, hang on. Interesting. Maybe it'll help you a little bit. Go with me, chapter 13. And in chapter 13, may I go, to verse 33. And what we're looking at is the little word where or whither. Where, W-H-E-R-E, where. Now, our Lord starts it off. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, verse 34, as I have loved you, that you also love one another, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, I want you to have a human relationship here, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto you, unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, I'm telling you to love one another, because, verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither, there's your little word from verse 30, whither, where goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither, where I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. So we got that. Now, sliding down, three times, chapter 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where, there's your little word, where I am. See, where? I'm going where I am. You can't go where I am now. Why can't we go where you are now? And, verse 3, where I am, that you're going to be where I am. See, so now, verse 4, whither, that's the word where I go, you know. where? Back and forth. Where? They want to know where, understandably. Verse 4, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. So, now having said that, all over the place, God, where I go. So now, as I know, as you're going, you're going to go, and you know the way that I go. Okay, I know the way. Okay, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in verse 6, now Thomas, you're going to answer Thomas. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, what are you going to tell him? Well, I am the way. Now, I'm trying to tell you that. Very simply, he said, I'm trying to help you understand. I'm standing in front of you. I'm telling you information about what's going to happen and where it's going to go. I want you to know that the centerpiece for all that's going to happen is standing in front of you. The one who's in charge of all that's going to happen is in front of you. The one that's putting it all together is in front of you right now. I told you, you know the way. I told you, you know where I'm going. And you contradicted me. You said, no, we don't know. I said, oh, yes, you do know. The trouble is you don't believe. That's why I said believe, because you don't believe. You do know, but you don't believe what you know. Is that possible? For you to know stuff and not believe it and not practice it. That's where they are. Now, having said that a little bit, I am the way. I am the way. Now, so the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am. I am that I am. Now, you remember Moses, if you would, and remember God introduced himself to Moses on the mountain, burning bush, and then he did to the people, and Moses gave the Exodus 3 and 14, I am the way, I am that I am, I am. I am. Now, I introduce myself to you. And they want to know, they're going to want to know who it is sent you, Moses. And Moses is going to make it very clear that the I am that I am sent me. That's you, God. That's right. We studied I am, the wonderful, wonderful expression, term. Now, so in the light of that, and you're going to go, and you're going to go, and you're going to leave Egypt, and you're going to go to the Red Sea, and you're going to stand by the Red Sea, And you're going to stand there and you're going to all scream and yell and everything. Hang on, we'll do it. Chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14. And in Exodus chapter 14, now just think of the disciples in the upper room. Think of the tribulation. Because all the way through history, all these different crises and problems and whatever was the result of them all. Exodus 14, now they're cornered, remember, they can't, the mountains on one side and the ocean, the Red Sea on the other, and there's no, and the Egyptians coming on the other path. There's nowhere to go. You got 2.5 million people or so. Wow, and all their animals. So, I mean, you got a massive, you have to understand this. So therefore, chapter 14, verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore thou hast dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So it's better. It's better for us that we stayed right where we were. We don't want to get saved. It may not be very good, but it's the level. It's we settle on levels of food, diet, conditions. We settle on them. And we lock in, even if it's horrible. It's what you're used to, what you live with, and you don't want it threatened. It's a piece of rotten wood in the ocean. A big ocean, and you're holding on to it very tight, and you won't let go when the boat comes and said, come on, let go of the piece of wood. And say, no, it holds me, it saves me, it makes me feel good. You got to let go of it. And we don't let go. They didn't want to let go of Egypt. Therefore, the wonderment of it all, in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace, quiet. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, and that they go forward, not backwards. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel should go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So here's the Red Sea opening up. We figured out one time, about a little over 4 miles, maybe. 4 miles across there. That's a big stretch of ocean. And to go across, and God makes it all dry, and the wall of water stands up like this. And they went across. That's a marvelous thing. Now they're all concerned. Moses, they didn't understand God. So God brought them to Mount Sinai to introduce himself. And they still didn't want to hear or know him, right? We don't want to hear him. Don't want to know him. We want to go back to Egypt. Now, back over to John. Back over to the Gospel of John. I am the way. I am the way. Now, I want you to know that I am the way. I am that I am. So, now, he's answering the question, the end of verse 4. The way we know, the way you know, the Lord said. And, verse 5, the way whither thou goest, we don't know, and the way, and how to know the way, we don't know. We don't know the way. The Lord said, you do know the way. Jesus said unto them, I am the way. I am. I am the person. Now, God, let's talk about, when you talk to me, everything, it's all about me. I'm the beginning and I'm the ending. It's all about me. I'm a person, God. Now, you want to know anything, have anything, understand anything? You're going to have to, it's me. I'm the creator. It's my creation. It's all mine. It's all mine. Do you understand? I am that I am. Oh, no, you can't. Yeah, I am. Is it something I can put in my pocket? No, it's me. How about a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy, a little bit of power? No, it's me. I am. I am the power. I am the peace. I am the joy. I'm everything. Do you understand? That's what I am that I am means. When we studied it, remember, in Exodus. I am that I am. I am whatever. I am everything. So I am the way. I am the way. And remember now, the way was a way, that they describe being saved. Hold your finger here if you'd like. And over to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. In fact, there's a group, I don't know if it's still existent, a branch of the professing churches called The Way. The Way. Chapter 16 and in verse 17. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." They show it, verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. So here, what is she saying? These believers, Peter and them, Paul, you're believers. These people are the way. They are Christians, as it were. Over, if you would please, to chapter 18. Chapter 18, in verse 25. The man was instructed, Apollos, the man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. He knew Jesus was the way, but he didn't understand the whole thing, so they helped him understand more. He is the way. He is the way. And as you turn the pages in Acts, it's the way. It's the way. I am the way, he said. It's the way to talk about being saved. I am the way. I am the way. Wow. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, if I can, being the way, let's see. Matthew chapter 16. I want to eliminate a few things. Matthew chapter 16. Would you allow me to go? And in chapter 16, I'm going to go straight to verse 26 in the light of everything. Verse 26, for what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange, one thing for another, for his soul? How can a man pay for his soul to get saved? How do you get healed in the heart? Which doctor, which hospital, which money, how much money? How do you get saved in the heart? If you had the whole world, it wouldn't pay the bill. That means there's nothing in this life that can get us in the way. Jesus said to them, "I am the way." They said, "We don't know the way." Well, it isn't in Rome, it isn't in Herod, it isn't in Pontius Pilate, it isn't in anyone. It isn't anywhere. There is no way. So when you said there is no way, there is no way. Period. Okay, I got that. Now, over, if you would please. Oh, over to Romans. Well, you know that. Romans chapter 6, wages. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the wonderful life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Acts chapter 4. You're going to say it. Just all I'm trying to do is eliminate. When Jesus said, I am the way, I am the only way. There is no other way. There is no other God. You understand? There is no other God. There is no other Savior. There is no other Creator. I'm the whole ball of wax. You leave me out, you got zero. Zero. The world. No, there's nothing. All the world busy trying and religions up to their eyeballs and everything, materialism and all of that. Nope, there is no other way. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Picking up if I can, as he did often, verse 12. Remember the disciples, they got people all upset because he spoke of the resurrection. They did. And in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 12, you're going to say this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is no other way. There is no other way. Over, if you would please, do it again. First Timothy. And remember, the systems have all kinds of prayer wheels and drums and burning candles and everything under the sun in order to try to get, to help, to get into the future, to work out the future, to have it come out good. Picking up, if I may, 1 Timothy chapter 2, sliding down, if I can, to verse 5. I'll have to read a little context. Verse 3, 2, 3, 1 Timothy. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. How many people can we go to? Remember, mediator means someone in between. Someone that can knows the person, knows the situation and can speak a word for you. Trying to get a job. Find somebody that you know. See? You want influence. Find somebody that can speak and give you a little head start to get to know. There is no one to know. There is no one. There's no statue. There's no Mary, no Peter, James, or Paul. There is no one except him. Absolutely no one. Do you understand? So the future is totally his. And you leave him out, and you're going to miss his wonderful future. Not that you're going to miss the future. You're going to have the future for sure. But you're missing it. You're just plain missing it. I am the future. There is no other way. So that's what the trouble with Christianity. People say there's no other way. So we say, oh, well, maybe a little bit of this compromise, and you do this good stuff, and you turn your prayer wheel a little more and burn 10 more candles and do a few more things and pray, and maybe there is no other way. There isn't any. Everyone's hoping there's another way. There is none. I say it for the umpteenth time. It's sobering. I'm the only way. I'm the only God. I'm the only Savior. I'm the only creator. Just me. There is no other one. Do you understand? So if you want to work out, you're going to have to come to me. How can you come to me? No man can come to me except the Father draw him. You can't come because, and what do you, I am the way. Now, wow, that's wonderful. Hang on in closing. I get sidetracked. But did you get, you have to understand. Lock it in. Your head and heart. There is no other way. There is no more future. There's nothing. He is it. A person. Not some quantity or quality you can have and walk out the door with. He's a person sitting in his presence. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. David, going back to when they did know the way, they just didn't put it all together, the disciples. But here's way back with David, and let me just get it. Psalm 23, you ready? We'll read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the Lord. He, the Lord, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He, my Lord, the Lord, leadeth me beside the still waters. He, the Lord, restoreth my soul. He, the Lord, that leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, Lord, art with me. Thy rod, Lord, and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou, the Lord, preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, who's the center person that David is looking to? To the Lord. He's a shepherd. The shepherd gets to take care of sheep. The shepherd takes care of the food, protection, medicine, anything they need. The shepherd's job, he's the good shepherd, John 10. And the good shepherd giveth his what? His life for the sheep. That's what the shepherd does. The Lord said, you do know the way, and you do know where I'm going, but you don't let it click because you aren't believing. And believing makes it real. Without believing, it's unreal. And when you're believing, you're going to know you're believing because it's real. And that's where you come from. When you come from somewhere else, you aren't believing. I am the way. And we're sitting. So the answer to everything in our little lives is in God's presence. The answer for everything. The how, the when, the where, the why. We're right in the middle of it. Now, what do you got? You want details? No. You must know who I am. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. For he that cometh to me must believe that what? I am. Isn't it hard? But we want all kinds of maneuvering and manipulating and whatever. No, God said, it's rather simple, gentlemen, to his 11 disciples. Gentlemen, do you understand how simple this is? I am standing in front of you. I am the total answer to anything and everything forever. I'm standing right in front of you. I'm God. Do you understand? And where am I going? Where did I come from? Whom do I represent? Who am I? I am God the Father. I am God the Son. I and my Father are one. You know where I'm going. I'm going to my Father. Where are you going? To your Father. Isn't that good? Where? The Father. Where is the Father? In your heart. When you receive me, John 14:23, in that, you receive my Father. My Father and I, the little word abide, mansions, will abide in you. That's the gospel. The good news. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word and your work. God, deal with us that we might understand the awesome, 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 awesome simplicity. God, we try to get all tied up in things and persons and peoples and reasoning and logic and everything else. God, we just lost you in the process. So God, thank you for being I am that I am. Thank you for being the bread of life, the water of life. Thank you for being I am. Thank you very much. And because of your I am, we are able to say, excuse, we are able to say, I am. I ought, I will, because of you. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.